Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
I couldn't get excited last night.
The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Please, make it interesting.
Oh my
God. Give me
God.
The next weekend. It's been a while. Please. Next weekend. That's what I want. That's all I want. It's a simple request.
And James Strebel.
Get me excited. Get me going.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
You know, just put my arm around him. Tell him it's okay to be excited.
Sorry. I'm really sorry. I tried to stop it. I couldn't.
Just get me to the Sweet 16 count.
It's been a while.
Nine mil a year. Anyway, 437-9680. It has been a while.
Been a while.
We had Bill Koch on. I don't know why I'm promoting that at 501, but we had him on earlier talking Providence basketball. Chris Mack, what's he going to do? The answer is a bunch of nothing. Be a dad and spend his money and a bunch of other nonsense. Catch out the podcast at ESPNLouisville.com or wherever you get your podcasts, the app, everything else. Also, reminder as well, the 5 o'clock hour presented by Cox's Spirit Shops and Evergreen Liquors. Get ready for all of the madness and do so with our good friends at Cox'sLouisville.com. All the beer, wine, spirits, the premium cigars, Evergreen, you know they got that great craft beer selection, and they got you covered. Obviously, the game tonight, 6:30, we'll have the coverage right here on ESPN 680, and then all day Thursday, and all day Friday, and all day Saturday and Sunday, basketball. If you're a Kentucky fan, Indiana fan, obviously Friday night. We'll see what happens on Sunday as well. It's 5 o'clock on a Tuesday. You know what that means. The great Mike DeCourcy joins us at TSN. Mike, the Sporting News, Fox Sports, did all the brackets all year. Great stuff there. Big Ten Network. He has a ton of info up right now at the Sporting News. Mike, good afternoon. And secondly, you said you stayed up all night writing a couple nights ago. Is that true? Did you pull an all-nighter?
Not literally true, no. Okay. I finally tapped out at 3 a.m.
Wow.
3 a.m. Central Time, so it's 4 in the East. I would have gone all the way through, but my editor, he tapped out first, so I figured I could get the rest done in the morning. So I did 3 of the region previews,
yeah.
Went to sleep for 4 hours, and then did the 4th.
There wow. you go. Is that the latest Mike DeCourcy stayed up? And how long? 3 a.m.
Like, ever?
Yeah, well, okay. Even when you're like a young man?
Are you saying, is that the latest I've ever stayed up? I mean, no.
But in how long?
I've stayed up since last Selection Sunday.
Okay, fair enough. Well, so in a year, okay. So Selection Sunday, Mike DeCourcy's pulling nearly an all-nighter. I appreciate that. All right, so the bracket is out. Obviously, Kentucky and Indiana, I want to get to them. What is, in your opinion, the best thing that the committee did with the bracket, and what's the biggest whiff that was out there?
Well, the clear biggest mistake they made was excluding Rutgers, basically for having an injury and struggling for a while to recover for that injury. But I thought that their performance in the Big Ten tournament suggested that they were at least close enough to who they had been that they warranted a position in the field. I thought it was really unjust for the committee to punish them for an injury, and to, for instance, Tennessee, which played reasonably poorly subsequent to the injury to Zakai Ziegler, and they didn't lose an inch on the seed line. UCLA, which didn't play badly without Jalen Clark, but certainly is they're a very different team, They did not lose a seed line. And yet, Rutgers missed the whole thing because it took them a few weeks to figure out how to play without Mawat Mag. I don't think that's a reasonable thing to do, especially when the committee's mantra has always been, you can play your way out of a bad seed, but you can't play your way out of not being in. So we have to get that part right. And they somehow managed not to get that part right.
Yeah.
What's the best?
Well, go ahead. Sorry. No, go ahead. I have just a couple follow-ups. I mean, the obvious things. I just wanted to follow up and get some of your thoughts on, but continue. Continue, please.
Well, you'd ask the best thing that they did as well. And I guess they got the ones right. They put Purdue on the one line, which they should have. Mm-hmm. They got the twos right as well. They screwed up the placement of Kansas.
How?
In a way that...
How do you do that, Mike? It's a layup.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a layup.
It's ridiculous. And here's the thing. If Houston had beaten Memphis on Sunday, they would have played six real games. Let's be honest, six real games, like against teams that are anywhere near this tournament. And they would have won five of them. And then, okay, maybe you can defend that. Metrically, they're the number one team in KenPom and all that stuff. And then they also won five out of six real games. Well, they didn't win on Sunday. They got handled. And so they won four out of six real games, which means they basically had the same winning percentage in six tough games as Kansas had in 21.
It's unbelievable.
So how do you do that?
Mike, it's a layup. In this bracket, it's a layup. This is the easy thing. Kansas, they did this, they did that. They're the one seed, and they're the one seed, they're playing in Kansas City. To me, I know you went with Rutgers. I understand the back end of the bubble, of the bubble, I should say, doesn't interest me as much as, okay, what are we doing with the teams that made it? I thought the Kansas thing was ridiculous. I guess I'm nitpicking, but I thought Tennessee was too high. You wrote about it. A&M too low. Utah State, a 10 seed. They didn't seemingly even need to sweat it come Selection Sunday. Those are the ones that stick out, I guess. Those are the ones that people
Utah
are talking
State, about. Utah State, another team, they played, I believe the final tally was eight games against the other NCAA tournament teams in their league. Now, don't forget about even asking about any NCAA tournament teams that were not in their league, with the exception of a couple of automatic qualifiers. They did not play anybody outside their league that would be part of what bracket people like me call the at-large field for... for convenience sake, it's those teams that would be in the tournament with or without an automatic bid. So they played eight games against teams in their league that are tournament teams, and they lost five of them. They were 3-5 against those teams. So that's good enough for a 10 seed, because the KenPom ratings and the net say they're good. Well, okay, if you're good and the metrics say you're good, well, why don't you win more games because you're supposed to be so good?
It's a fair point. Mike DeCourcy with us. What do we do with the net after this bracket and in general? Seems to be some angst around that. I have no idea what it means. Still don't.
I think the first thing to understand is that when the net was first being discussed, they had a meeting of the analytics people, like Ken Pomeroy, like Jeff Sagarin, Jerry Palm. They had a lot of people with that orientation, understanding of the game and the understanding of the math. And they asked a lot of questions. We had great discussions. And kind of the core takeaways that I remember from the discussion was the belief by... And Ken was particular, because he is the sort of he may not be in the game as long as Jeff Sagarin, but he's kind of become the oracle in that department. And so
agreed.
I remember him speaking, and some of the things he said. And one of the things he said was that he did not believe that teams should be selected for the tournament based on his rankings or rankings like it. His rankings are meant to measure power, not accomplishment. And he believed, like I strongly do, that accomplishment is what should get you into the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. And so that was the first thing. And then the second thing, and I remember Ken saying this, but I remember kind of everybody who was a math person saying this, which is that the NCAA was discussing the possibility of trying to create a hybrid ranking, that was somewhat predictive like the KenPom rankings and somewhat results-based like the ESPN strength of record rankings. And all of the math people said, don't do that. It's not a good idea. And the math is too complicated for me to understand, but I do understand yes or no. And they said no. And so, of course, the NCAA went ahead and tried to do it anyway.
Yeah.
And what they wound up with, surprisingly, is basically a near duplication of KenPom. It's not exact because nobody knows what Ken's formula is, and no one knows what the net is. But if you line up top 50 in Ken's and you line up top 50 in the net, I mean, there's very little variance. There's just a couple of spots here and there. And so that's what you have. And so that's what that's what the core of the discussion is being decided on. And because it's at the core, I believe the committee tilts in that direction. So they are tilting in the direction of, rather than a results-based metric, wherein the important thing is, did you win? How good was your opponent? And did you play the game home, road, or neutral? And more points for road, slightly more points for home, slightly more points for neutral, and less points for home. So that would be the key elements in some measurement of strength of record. And so that's what it should, if you ask me to pick a metric out of all the ones we know about and say, okay, what would you want at the core of the selection process? I would say strength of record, because that's the best one I've seen. But instead they did what they did. And I want the NABC to stand up and say, they're the ones that are empowered from a basketball standpoint to say, this is bad. What you're doing is not right. This is NC State should not be making it into the field because they're 30th in the net, and as opposed to having lost three times to Clemson. So I think the NABC needs to step forward on this issue. And if they don't, it's not going to happen.
What is your hunch how this tournament plays out? Mike DeCourcy with us before we dive into Kentucky. Again, you can go read all of his predictions, breakdowns, what-ifs, and we'll get to the locals here in a second. Are there upsets early? I don't know. It seems like everyone is rather chalky on their Final Four. If they get dangerous, it's, Duke at a 5 seed in a year where anyone could beat anybody. I'm filling out brackets and, Alabama, Texas, or if you like Marquette, or if you like Purdue and Houston, Kansas, like, it's all the same kind of teams. And I don't know. There's a bunch of coaches out there that haven't won a title and haven't been to a Final Four. And right. And I think this year, like many years, but this year is a chance with K gone. Kentucky's a 6 seed, Izzo's a 7 seed. Some new blood could go in here, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all for anything to happen just about. I don't think there's much that could happen in this tournament that I would say, wow, I never saw that coming. I mean, like, I guess if we had another St. Peter's type thing, yeah, okay. That's going to shock me. A 15 going all the way to the Elite Eight or something close to that. Okay. But if it were Colgate, I'm not sure that I'd be shocked. I really like Colgate. I think that they got a raw deal from the committee as only a 15 seed. I thought that's much too good a basketball team. St. Peter's a year ago was very good, had a very good regular season, didn't win their league and the regular season. So it wasn't like they had this massive amount of accomplishment and you knew that they were coming. And that's kind of Colgate this year. They're really good. And again, if they had been a 14, I'd be really wary of them. A 15, our twos are pretty solid teams, Texas, UCLA, et cetera. So I don't expect them to win, but they're really good. So there's not much that could shock me, honestly, in this. In my Final Four, I think I have a 1, a 2, a 5, and a 4.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, you could say it's chalky because you heard of all the teams.
No, but it's not too chalky. You're better than most. Yeah, how about that?
I appreciate that.
Yeah, you're better than most.
One of the things that's interesting to me about my bracket process was that I was very micro and looked at you know, looked at Ken's rankings and what am I looking at? What kind of team? You know, are you a three-point shooting team, a great defensive team, whatever? And so I kind of was micro on each individual matchup. And I got to the end and I look at my final four, Texas, UConn, Duke, and Alabama, and I'm like, oh, I'm just, this is going to be so bad. I'm going to lose every game. You know, I mean, like, you get, I have no confidence in it.
Oh, yeah.
And then when I was done with that, a stat that everyone who picks a bracket should know, okay? There's two stats everyone who picks a bracket should know. If you're picking a national champion that does not have an NBA first round pick on it, you're picking the wrong team because that team is not winning it because that has not happened since 1987. So if you're doing that, if you're picking Purdue, you're wrong. I mean, Purdue might make the Final Four, but they would have to rewrite history or break a 36-year pattern in order to win. So I don't think 36-year patterns get broken very often in sports. So that's one. And two is a 20-year pattern with only one exception. Top 20 offense in KenPom and top 20 defense in terms of efficiency. Every single champion since 2002, except for UConn in 2014, has been both, top 20 in both. I make a slight exception in that conversation because Baylor in 2021 was literally the best defensive team in the country, but because they had COVID pauses and all that, and a smaller sample size, they were 22nd in D. I still count it. So if you're picking a champion that either isn't in that group already or in the neighborhood, like maybe 25 or 28 with a chance to climb into the top 20 through the tournament, then you're taking a chance on, again, having to rewrite what's basically almost unyielding 20-year history. So when I look at my Final Four, when I get done and I'm feeling bad about it, of course, I look at Ken's rankings the next morning, and I see my final four are top 20 in both.
Yep.
Texas, UConn, Alabama. The only exception to that is Duke, which is, I think, outside the top 20 in offense. So, and pretty far outside, maybe 28, 35, whatever it is. So I felt much better about my final four when I looked at that.
Mike DeCourcy with us at TSN. Mike, again, the sporting news. Go check out everything he's got cooking. I know you've seen a lot of Providence anyway, but I mean, just with your job, you've seen a lot of Providence. And, you know, we're laughing around here. You can lose, and if you're in Kentucky, it's never good to lose to an 11 seed, but it could have been any old 11 seed. But instead, it's Bryce Hopkins, and that's a storyline, as obviously he's become a very good player. But Providence is struggling. I don't know why. I guess, open-ended question, what do you make of this game? I think guards could maybe spread Kentucky out. You know, they've been susceptible there. I think inside, Kentucky has, I think at least, a pretty sizable advantage if guys show up. And, you know, the Bryce Hopkins effect is there. What do you make of this? And I know you wrote about, you know, Kentucky, how they would match up with Kansas State as well. What do you make of the Cats here this first weekend?
Yeah, I think it starts with how healthy Cason Wallace is. If you can tell me that he's Cason Wallace, I feel very confident in Kentucky in winning that game. If he is Cason Wallace, the Cason who played the Auburn game, what is that, 2 weeks ago now? If he's out there, I think they win. If he's the guy who played against Vandy, it really starts to get problematic because Vandy was getting to the lane at will, and I don't blame Cason for that in its entirety because I don't think he was healthy for that. 100%, I should say. It was much too easy to get by him. He's not great at that particular aspect of defense. He's really good with disruption, with reading the offense, and with getting the ball, getting his hands in passing lanes, and all that. He's not the best at controlling penetration, but on Friday he was at his worst. So if you can tell me that he's, like I said, the guy who played the Auburn game, great confidence, all of that, then I feel pretty confident in them winning the game. But Houston, UCLA with the Dembona, I just don't know what the situation will be.
Mike DeCourcy with us. Them losing to Vanderbilt in the SEC tournament and twice in basically, what, 8-9 days, whatever it was, what do you think that did for their seeding? I mean, they still were respected. The SEC was respected. Maybe not Texas A&M, but we understand that. Could they have been a 5, do you think, had they taken care of business with Vanderbilt? Or do you think they were destined to be a 6?
No, I think they would have been a 5 if they had beaten Vandy both times. I know they would have been a 5. I'm convinced of that. If they beat him the second time, I still think they would have been right there in line for it. It's what's interesting, and I was doing a thing earlier. I would say this: if you said let's have a tournament, okay, you can have, it's going to be 6s versus 5s, and you can have all the 5s on your side. You can have the 5s. Or you can have the 6s. You get to keep their wins. You know what I mean? Whoever's going to have the best record in that, with the tiebreaker maybe being point differential if they go 2-2. I would go with the 6s. I think the 6s are better basketball teams than the 5s. So I think there certainly was room on the line for Kentucky had they been able to take care of Vandy on Friday night.
Yeah, I don't know. Does your gut, I mean, come on, Mike, they did what they did against Vandy, what I'm so scared about. And they're one of many, many other teams that could beat just about anybody. They could also lose, obviously, to just about anybody. I mean, what does your gut tell you about this? I can't figure out if they're just going to lay down and just be done with the season. If they make the Sweet 16 and then it's a valiant effort there, I don't know. If you're saying I got Cal, a $9 million coach, hey, get ready. You got a week to get ready for the Sweet 16. I just have very little confidence that this is going to be a positive experience. If they lose to Bryce Hopkins, my God, Mike.
Well, I mean, you sound like you're
I know.
A card-carrying member of BBN. Absolutely.
Save that, yes. Yeah. I just don't have – you buy in, then they lose to Vanderbilt, and Jerry Stackhouse is stunned on you. They lose by 30 the next night. I don't know.
Well, I told you why. I mean, you can believe me or not, but that's why. I can't tell you whether they'll be healthy. I can't, but you're, what you said about lay down, I mean, when have you seen them do that? I mean, it certainly wasn't in the Vandy game. I can't remember a game in which they did. I've seen them not at their best when they were limited, and I've also seen them at their best when they were limited. I'll be honest with you. I think that based on what Kaysen looked like in that game, that I would have preferred to see Kentucky go out and basically do what they did against Arkansas, play short.
You're probably right. Yeah.
See if they could get through it, and then if Kaysen maybe would have a day more rest, maybe be better. I don't think that, you know, he was. It
he
was
didn't
never
look good.
Likely,
no.
Based on what we saw, that he was going to be able to do it 3 times. So why not just hold him out? Basically, try to roll the same game plan out that you did in the Arkansas game, give or take, and see if it could work again. I know that Vandy would have had a week to study that tape, but I would have rolled with that. And then, you know, and then there would have been probably less concern about the loss because everybody would have understood you were playing again without both of your starting point guards, so to speak, because you had one who started the year as point guard and then the other who took over.
Mike DeCourcy with us. Let's move to Indiana. IU, two-parter here. What worries you about you? Again, you wrote about this. We know Rob Senderhoff around here. What is intriguing or bother you if you're an Indiana fan about the Kent State matchup? And then I know it's looking ahead. Did you, in the order of teams, the committee liked Indiana ahead of Virginia, but did not give IU the Yum Center in the South. Did you have any opinion on that? And then what do you think of Kent State and the first weekend for the Hoosiers?
Yeah, I think they were conscious to an extent of trying to really disadvantage the higher seed in the circumstances where they were playing against a local lower seed. The one exception they made to that was Auburn, putting Auburn in an 8-9 game opposite Houston in Birmingham. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they made the exception there. I'm in favor of that, to be honest with you. We go back last spring to UConn women playing in Bridgeport which is like 40 minutes, 45 minutes from stores, against NC State, the higher seed, and having a basically a home crowd, and almost entirely there are like six people wearing red, and I don't think that that's the way it should go. So they seem to take that into account to some extent, with the small exception. So I didn't feel too badly for Indiana, but I don't like the old half in, half out kind of thing. If you're gonna make it a geographically advantaged tournament, then when the team like Kansas earns it, do it. If you're going to make it so that teams that don't earn an advantage aren't close to home, then don't allow Auburn to play Houston. Just put them in a different 8-9 region. It couldn't have been that hard for them. There was only one SEC team on the one line. There weren't many other 8-9s that were from the SEC, so it wouldn't have been that hard to mix and match them out of that. I think Arkansas was also an 8-9, so you'd had to keep them away from them. But other than that, I think that would have been the only other constraint. So you still had two wide open regions you could have put them in.
Yeah. Now it's bad. I don't know. Indiana fans around, it's better than Virginia. Let's go Furman. We just had Virginia fans here a couple years ago. Give me some Hoosiers. Come on. Give me a little Dan Dockich on a Thursday. I don't know what to tell you. Okay, so Indiana fans. I had a buddy, we were talking about the Hoosiers, and Mike DeCourcy with us. You have Purdue, this is Indiana's big year, and Purdue comes up over the top. They win the Big Ten. They win it by three games. They take care of business in the Big Ten tournament, and they win that as well, and they get the one seed. Indiana, a four seed, I hate to say it, but, Penn State takes care of them in the Big Ten tournament. Edie, not TJD, even though I love him, Edie ends up winning player of the year. They beat Purdue twice, so there is that. That absolutely matters, but this is Indiana's big year, and Purdue has overshadowed it maybe a little bit. What does Indiana need to do here in the tournament to make this a successful season, in your opinion? Is it second weekend? What is it? I mean, this is their big season with TJD coming back and everything else.
Yeah, I think that they probably need to at least make the Sweet 16 and then take their best shot. Take their best shot, not just be there. I think that would be, at that point, a successful season. I don't think you could say that a team that has not been, the only tournament appearance they've had since, I think it was 2016, was a first four and then an immediate blowout in the next round. I think that if you can supersede that with two NCAA tournament wins, I know it's disappointing for TJD to not get closer to a banner. They obviously didn't get close in the regular season. That was always going to be hard. But they could have at least played for the title with what they had ahead of them, and they started out. I mean, they started out so beautifully that I thought for sure they were going to win. But one of the things that bothersome about this team is they don't stay in the same lane, so to speak. They start out great, and then somebody throws a little wrinkle, and all of a sudden they're just not the same. And they did that against Michigan in the last regular season game, were able to recover and go to overtime and win. They've done that far too often within games, and that's dangerous in the NCAA tournament. Kent State put 58 points on an excellent mid-major Toledo team in the MAC championship in the second half. Basically a tie game, 1 point one way or the other at halftime, and then 58 points. So if you take a break in that game or a nap or whatever you want to call it, I mean, you could give up 20 points, give up a 20-5 run, and all
that's
of a sudden you're chasing the game.
Yep, that's the worry. I know. I know. Mike, it's a dangerous game, and Rob Senderoff on top of it is just an interesting story. Last one, we'll get you out of here. I understand allegations and everything else gone from Texas. And then Texas hasn't even played their first game in the tournament. Chris Beard finds his way a Power 5 job. I know it's a reclamation project there at Ole Miss. It's not a traditional power, but Chris Beard back in the game, and he's not having to go all the way back down the ladder. What do you make of him so very quickly getting the job? And now Chris Beard, at least a couple years, joins the SEC, who has compiled some damn good coaches.
Yeah, I highly disappointing is the best way I can put it. It's just so unnecessary. And this is a program, think about it, okay? They had Rob Evans 25, 26 years ago, great coach, let him get away. Then they hire Rod Barnes, great coach, does a really nice job. They get rid of him because they're not Kentucky. Then later on, they get Andy Kennedy in there. Terrific coach, does a nice job, keeps him in the ballpark, you know, gets in every now and then. They're not Kentucky. Okay, no more Andy Kennedy. They can do better. And so this is who they are the biggest basketball wannabe in the entire college spectrum. They have had more good coaches that they've either allowed to get away or run out, and then they do this. And just completely give away their soul in doing so. I'm not saying that he should never coach again. Not saying that. But I'm saying that 3 months is not enough time.
I'm with you.
Not enough time for him to have reclaimed his reputation, so to speak. It's just not. And so for Ole Miss to do this is the act of desperation that it looks like. And the one thing that they did smart in this, I will tell you, the one thing they did smart in this was break it on basically right in the middle of Selection Sunday.
It's not talked about at all. No.
Yeah, it's because everybody who is wrapped up in doing the bracket is too busy, and they threw the Oscars in, right? If you had free time, you watched that. You didn't worry about Chris Beard. I had none.
Right.
I missed the whole show. That just shows you how proud they are of what they did. That they tried to, that there's that Friday night news dump. Well, this is the Selection Sunday news dump, and it worked to the extent that it did. It didn't keep me from taking a minute and a half to talk about it on the radio, but it did keep me from having the time to sit down for an hour, hour and a half, and write the column that it deserves.
Mike DeCourcy, the absolute best. And then on top of it, of course, the SEC didn't like Hugh Freeze and Bobby Petrino going to the conference. But in basketball, it's been a little bit different with the messaging around Brandon Miller and then obviously Chris Beard as well. Mike, appreciate the time as always. Are you going to any of these locations? Are you just at home watching every single game? How you doing it?
Our headquarters are in Charlotte, and they wanted to see me there for a couple of days.
Beautiful.
This is how busy Sunday is for me. Okay.
Okay.
So they say, okay, you're going to Greensboro. So I know that I got my trip booked and all that, and I do all my region previews and I do my bracket pick, and then I wrote the bracket column about why I made the picks, and I get up and I have a whole bunch of stuff I have to do on Monday, and then I'm on the plane home from Chicago, having done all the projects I did yesterday, like 8 o'clock last night. And I'm like, oh yeah, who's going to be in Greensboro? So I look at my phone. It's like, oh my, Kentucky's going to be there. I had no idea. I was 26 hours past the selection show and found out Kentucky was going to be there. So I will be down there with Coach Cal and Sean Miller.
Pittsburgh
is going to take over Greensboro. As simple as that.
Well, you got the current coach and the coach of Kentucky fans want, and Sean Miller there. I'm kidding. So you have them both right there. Mike, safe travels. Keep up the good work. We'll keep consuming it. We'll talk with you next week, and we'll know a lot by then, especially with the locals. Take care. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Andy.
All right, there we go. Mike DeCourcy, good stuff as always on ESPN 680 1057. You happy with that?
Yeah, I liked it.
You good to go with that?
Yeah, I liked it.
You better be.
Strong on Chris Beard. I wasn't expecting that. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Not saying I disagree with him. I just didn't expect that.
I basically completely agree with
exactly. him. Yes, I'm with you. It was just
basically.
Like, wow.
So, there you go. All right, so there's Mike DeCourcy. On the other end, caller Emily.
Oh.
She will not be on the air.
Oh!
But there is a story.
Oh, okay.
Involving caller Emily.
Okay, not me.
Okay.
This is her.
And that has nothing to do. This has nothing to do with James Strieble.
Right.
Nothing to do with you.
Right.
And I have a U of L basketball question. We'll keep getting you ready for Kentucky and Providence. One more segment to go. Hanging out until 6 o'clock on ESPN 680.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Texas says Strieble's line again. No one's looking forward to the Clemson game and starting and no one's stating an 8-1 8-win season.
Oh, come
that
on.
That Texter's wrong, man.
He had four players.
Texter's wrong.
And James Strebel.
Four players go on with Ethan Moore. Go listen to the podcast on the ESPN Louisville app. That's what I did today, and they all said the same thing. What game are you looking forward to the most? Every one of them said Clemson. So you're not paying attention. You're not listening. Quit trying to downplay your team's expectations and the rest of your fans' expectations. You're a loser. Quit being a loser and quit thinking something that's not correct, because go listen to the damn podcast. It's there.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
One more segment to go here on The Take on ESPN 680, 105.7. Aaron Rodgers has announced he will make his announcement tomorrow at 1 o'clock on Pat McAfee's show.
Of course.
It's a great job for Pat McAfee.
Say, like
even though everyone knows where you're going when they made when you made the Jets hire all your buddies
all
in
your
Green
buddies.
Bay.
Exactly, yes.
I mean, you know,
very transparent.
You know what it reminds me of?
What?
It's not a perfect analogy, but it's like Calipari in a couple years doing that to Kentucky. Now, if he would have done that at Texas, he would have brought this recruiting class.
They all would have gone.
And so it's different. Like we're talking about the Jets having to sign, was it Mercedes Lewis? Who
I believe
is
so.
It?
Yeah, Randall Cobb.
And Randall Cobb. Like, guys were just washed up, okay?
Exactly.
So it's not a perfect analogy.
But they're guys that Aaron Rodgers likes.
Yeah, but Cal would do that in a couple years because obviously he's thinking about leaving because he's not recruiting anyone in 2024 because you know who is? Kenny Payne.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's who. Kenneth Victor Payne. That's who's doing it.
He's recruiting guys in 2024 to play in 2023.
Yeah. You gotta do what you gotta do.
Exactly. No, I'm not. Look, I'm not gonna diss it.
You gotta do what you gotta do. So.
Yeah, you gotta do what you gotta do. I've seen reclass before. Only a few have worked out.
Oh boy!
I was the only one that
chalk.
What's that? Oh my God! It's all right.
Wow! Where'd that come from?
My hand slipped.
Rock chalk.
Oh,
not Dan again. I mean, come on, Dan.
Rock chalk.
Can you get off this rock
chalk
stuff? Can you move up? Go back to say go Cats. Can I get a go?
No one's saying go Cats anymore.
I know Dan's not. I'm still saying go Cats. I'm saying it. I don't care if they win or lose. I always sign off with go Cats. It doesn't matter, but get enough, Dan. I want to hear go Cats. I want to
hear
go. Go Big
you
Blue.
You ain't gonna hear
Dan
any of that.
I know, because we've lost him. We've lost him to Kansas. I understand it.
Well, I mean,
a little bandwagon jumping from Dan Issel. I mean,
there it is.
There it
you
is.
You would never say that to his face.
I would.
You would never say that to his face.
I would say.
Strebel, you would never call Issel a bandwagon.
Little bandwagon from Issel. I'm just saying.
Avery, Avery, listen. Avery, you there? Miss Dill. Who again? They called you Avery Pitino today, AP.
They called you Avery Pitino.
Avery.
Why are you trying to blame everybody else?
The computer is stupid. Yeah.
The computer didn't work. You blamed everybody else. They called you Avery Pitino.
Exactly.
I'd love if Avery married into the Pitino family. That would
be great.
Diener's like, why not me?
Yeah, I was like, fuck. Is there not a spot for me? I want to be in this family.
Ramsey and Rutherford, what?
What?
Who? How? Who's this?
I'll marry whoever you want.
She even knew Sweeney? Son of a. Who's this?
Who's this young lady?
I can't remember what I was going to say.
What about Dan, I believe?
Oh, you need to compile. Listen, Furman can help you. We've cut it. I mean, we got like 6 or 7 clips that Strebel is strong against Dan. You guys need to play those for Dan.
Yeah.
Louie, have I taught you nothing? Louie!
I don't mind that Dan hears
Avery,
it.
Avery, I'm like hurt to my core how this isn't being played. Strebel's just calling him a bandwagon jumper. Strebel's drinking a Bush Light right now doing that.
If no one else is going to...
from the hip at Dan Issel.
If no one else is going to do it, someone's got to do it. Everyone else is thinking it. I'm the only one saying it. Everybody else is thinking it. Every Kentucky fan that hears Dan Issel go rock, chalk, Jayhawk, they're thinking the same thing I'm thinking.
I have one piece of sound from Avery today.
Oh, the Avery sound.
I didn't totally hear this, but Louie said it was said, so here we are.
Okay.
It's just a furry one. It's just a furry one.
So... What a weird pivot from Mike DeCourcy.
Right, DeCourcy.
Just
Dan Issel slander.
Just right. That's not me.
To furries.
That's not me.
Yeah. No, it's me. I own it.
So here's the thing that happened.
Yeah, what happened?
And this is not me. So it's a Bachfest. Oh, when's Bachfest coming up? You have no idea.
I have no idea.
You have no idea what that is.
No.
It's actually, it's down in Nulu.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
The Nulu Bachfest.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember last year, it was like a day that was nice. It was like high 50s or 60s. It was sunny.
Kind of like Saturday at Tailspin.
Well, yeah,
or
it was
two Saturdays
and everyone
ago.
Just wanted to just, I mean, they were just so jacked up to get outside. It was super busy.
Yeah.
Help me here, Phil Baker, if you're listening here. Oh, goodness. I can't. I'm trying to find. Oh, March 25th. So it's next Saturday.
Weeks. Yeah. Oh, it's next Saturday.
It's next
yeah.
Saturday.
Yeah.
It's the Saturday. There's a lot going on that Saturday. So it's what? It's Friday, Sunday at the end, at the Yum Center.
Yes.
So you have on Saturday, you have Bachfest. You also have the Loose City, their first home match.
Oh, wow.
Is later that night. So you have a lot going on.
Right.
Or it might be in the afternoon. I apologize. Either way.
But it's next Saturday.
There's
yeah.
goats in the goats race.
Oh, goat Fest. Races, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You understand
like
what I'm
goats.
Saying?
Yeah, they're
this
they're,
goes all the way back to like the 1800s, okay?
Cute animals, yeah.
So it's a beer. You got a goat. You got
yeah.
a goat.
We were
with the good people who run the Tailspin Ale Fest.
Oh, Trevor and the crew.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
That we were given two goats to name.
Oh, you named some goats?
So we named some goats.
Okay.
So, the first one, get a better goat.
An ode to Locke?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Get a better goat.
Right, okay.
Let me bring up the second one.
All right.
And this was supposed to be two, but they combined it to one.
Okay.
So, the other goat is named Infused Caller Emily.
Oh, wow. You merged it. I like that.
I didn't do any of this. I want to be clear. This is a Phil Baker joint. This is not me.
Oh, Phil Baker named these
goats.
Well,
and I meant to make it part of the show, and we were going to talk about it, and we didn't do it. We just failed so poorly, and even through our failure,
yeah.
Phil Baker saved it.
Thank you,
with
Phil.
Two goats, one being named Infused Caller Emily, and
like
the other being Get a Better Goat.
One of these goats has to win the race.
Oh, okay. Could you imagine
put some money?
Get a Better Goat being the winner?
It's just...
Can you put money on these goats? Is there going to be betting? Is there going to be a bookie there? Like, what's the deal?
I mean, sir, you can gamble. I mean, sir,
you can gamble on anything.
You're not going to be able to go to any of this. You're going to be Memphis, Indiana baseball practice, okay?
Actually,
Avery, the Streebles are... They're moving from Indiana people to Louisville people more now. There has been a big movement. It's like Chris Mack sending his family to Florida.
To Florida,
that's
yeah.
basically, your Florida is like St. Matthews.
You never know. We might move to Florida. Who knows?
There you go. Know. You should, IMG.
Get that IMG stuff or whatever. Get some
IMG.
Of these kids up in these upper-level baseball academies down in Florida. I'll move to Florida. I got no problem with that.
I could see you in Florida.
I love
could
Florida.
Not see him in Florida.
Oh, I love Florida. I shine in Florida.
Since I've known you, you went to Florida.
Yeah, I was in Florida a couple times.
Well you went there
area,
to pick up a boat. Okay?
Area. I went. And then we spent the night there. And then I've been in the Gulf region since we've been on the show. I know. I love
it. Yeah, but I'm saying there's some people that go twice a year. You sound like that guy. And you've been there
like
twice in like 9 years.
I would like
get
to
a
be
better
there.
Dog.
There it. Get a better goat.
Get a better dog.
I'd like
can't
to be
find the
guy.
Whole rant here. What are we doing?
We can't find the whole rant.
Well, I'm trying to find it.
It's got to be in there. It's one of the most played sounds ever on ESPN Louisville.
Yeah, it was something about fireworks.
Yeah,
and how the dog's perfectly fine.
His
and
dog,
like, everyone's complaining
name,
about
I've,
the.
I met this dog, Avery. I met Julep, his dog. It was a very good dog. She is laid on the floor.
I love Avery telling me what the sound is instead of looking. Instead of looking, she's telling me, Avery, I know what the legendary sound is. I'm kidding. 437-9680. Everything here is double dogs. It's a lot of double dogs. Yeah.
That double dog sound.
I just typed in dogs.
Yeah, I know it was almost impossible for me to find.
Oh, man.
I'm not
like going to,
without
minutes.
Being gross, you know, at the hell with it. It's my brand. I'm prairie dogging it right now.
Oh,
so.
No. Oh, Nick, that just...
That's
oh, Nick.
Instead of the good
Buddy.
Stuff, that's what I gave you.
Yeah. Instead of Locke saying, ain't nothing but a thing. We're talking about fireworks off my dog's head. I get Nick saying that.
I got that. That's what we get instead.
Damn it.
It really is sad. Well, that's the best that I could do.
And Nick's just like, yeah, that's me. That's what I do.
Oh, there's something on here. Diener eats a dog biscuit.
I don't remember this.
Brother, it's Diener, like 3 minutes long.
Diener eating a dog biscuit. Yeah. I don't remember this sound at all.
And then he's taking these hot dogs and he's shoving them in every orifice. He's got one, sticking one in his ear.
Hot dogs.
I find everything else but this. Yeah, it's just terrible.
I mean, you have Diener talking. Yeah.
I have Diener capel back of hot dog neck.
Oh, that's always good to play.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it always is, but it's not
what
we need.
It's not. Could it be 4th of July?
We have Issel on Snoop Dogg grabbing himself. This goes back a year and a half.
Yes.
If they ever make grabbing yourself an Olympic event, Snoop Dogg will be the gold medalist. Why do you have to do that? I mean, please. Nobody wants to see that, do they? Do they?
Poor Mike Pratt in the background. That laughing. Made me eternally sad.
I know, that sweet laugh back there.
We have a sweet laugh in the background. And it's Issel wondering, just because he's made $billions grabbing himself, Dan.
Mike Pratt.
Yes, Freeman wants to go to Florida, DeSantis. Yes, we
that
know, Freedom, we understand.
DeSantis. It's just...
Kellen wore number 45 in football, and he's not a fullback. He's not Mike Allstott.
No, he's not.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
437-9680. We talked about the Louisville factions and everything else. Something we may talk about tomorrow.
Okay.
The guys that haven't left.
I mean, right now, I guess I'm
expecting L. Ellis to leave.
Jalen Withers, I expect him to leave.
Yeah, and I don't expect, okay, so maybe throw in at least Withers, keep Trainer. I think Louisville fans want to keep him. I guess, to me, I have always felt that the guys they had, and Mike James probably fits this mold.
Sure.
Are guys that would be good bench players, role players. Yeah. Mike James could spring up and score 25, but there might be a game he has six. And it's just kind of one of those things. Maybe not a starter. Could start.
Yeah.
But more of a sixth seventh man.
Yeah.
I have viewed J.J. Trainer that way, and I don't know what Kenny Payne thinks. So what's the threshold of... They can add guys to your position, and that would be number one. And number two is if Jalen Withers, using him as an example, were to come back.
Okay.
You would feel differently about him because he's going to be on a better team, yes?
With players around. That could be the old argument of, you know, he has others around him to make him better, and he doesn't have to go out and do everything. But, I can't buy into that argument because he was on a team that was better and he was fine. I mean, that season with Carly Jones, like he was pretty good. And then he comes back and 2 years of nothing. Like I'm as out on Jalen Withers as I am anybody on that team. Like if he never plays another game at Louisville,
well, listen, I'm with you.
I don't think it does anything.
I'm with you, but
I think there's no uptick with him.
But it can change how you think of him if he's on a better team.
If he's on the bench.
He suddenly now doesn't have to be one of the best players.
That's
the crux of the matter. I mean, Mike James could be a starter somewhere. Do you go down in weight class? I mean, Bryce Hopkins just went through this.
He did,
He
yes.
goes down in weight class.
And he's a star.
And he can average 15, 16 a game. He can do that at Kentucky. You know it's going to be different. By the way, I found it.
Oh, if I read one more post about people complaining about fireworks because their dog is upset, I'm going to go insane. Get a better dog. I don't know any other way to say it. That's probably more insulting than it should be. I have a dog. Her name is Julep. She is a golden retriever.
You could have
the war of 1812 outside our door, and she sits here like ain't nothing but a thing. She sleeps. She doesn't move. Fireworks don't bother her. Thunder doesn't bother her. Nothing bothers her. That's because my dog is great. I'm really sorry that your dog is not as good as mine. It's not your fault. It doesn't make you a bad person. Is it really necessary, though, to bitch about fireworks every single... So trust me, all the things you're bitching, why do people play fireworks so much? You know you're just as bad as them when you're bitching about it every single day. And I understand there are things you can't control. If you're 6'5", you're never going to be a jockey. That's just, it's never going to happen. It's just physically, I'm so sorry, it's not going to happen. I know it's not, I feel bad for you that apparently your dog is soft. I don't know what to tell you. I feel bad for you. But as someone whose dog is not soft, let me just say, it's actually a sympathetic take. I feel bad for you. My dog is not soft. And you can come light a firecracker next to her ear, and she will go, whatever.
It's actually a sympathetic take.
Texas says Rig just called Avery Emily.
No, I didn't.
Wait, what?
I don't think I did.
Ain't nothing but a thing.
Oh.
Ain't nothing but a thing. She sleep. That's because my dog is great.
That was the greatest rant ever. It was just... No reason to do it at all. He just felt like he had to get that out there.
Texas
on the radio.
Says, did Curran fill out the women's bracket yet?
Yes. Yeah.
That's 100%. Just, it's never going to happen. It's just physically, I'm so sorry, it's not going to happen. If you're 6'5", you're never going to be a jockey.
He said some old man things. That's an old man thing in the ain't nothing.
Your
but
dog
a thing.
Is soft. Your dog is soft.
If radio airwaves are missing that, you're not getting that on Spectrum, unfortunately.
No, I don't know what you're getting on. Just neuter, just a beaten down man.
Read the teleprompter.
Just read the teleprompter, you bum.
Yeah, just
read the teleprompter.
Read it.
4-3-7-9-6-8. I can give that. It doesn't matter. Bonus hour. Is that right, Avery? Do we have a bonus hour?
Yes,
your dog is soft.
All right, well, there we go. Bonus hour next, and then at 6:30, hey, we get the NCAA popping. We do it right here on ESPN 680. Have a good night.
Metro College is a program that helps students pay for tuition, and I didn't believe it. You have to work third shift 5 days a week. It's a great and rewarding thing when you graduate. I would do it all over again, just like I just did.
You know those buddies who magically become medical professionals when you're not at the top of your game? The ones who say,
come on, muscle through it.
But then also say,
hey, you should probably see my specialist.
Or surgery or pain meds. It's almost always false, false, and false. Athletico's physical therapists, the same therapists who work with professional athletes, can tackle those little aches and pains from the start, before they become big ones. So next time, don't believe everything you hear. Instead, start with Athletico. Schedule your free assessment at athletico.com.